What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We're going to kick this off with some early season. Dude, you got some major exhales going on there. I think it's... Are you breathing under your nose that heavy?
It's like a deer.
Testing here. 1, 2, 3.
There you have it. That is the
really getting jacked up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's Wednesday, and we're going to dive into some listener questions. Let's kick this podcast off and talk about early season hunting in the context of locating a deer in the summer months, knowing of the deer, its core area, and then that disappearing phase and not being able to catch up with that deer or not knowing where to start and finding where that deer may have relocated to once the season kicks off. So with that being said, let's say you're glassing a buck. In the summer months, he's, let's say, hitting a bean field, whatnot. You got trail camera pictures of him, all these typical scenarios. October 1st rolls around or whatever your opener is, and 3 days prior, he disappeared. He's not in the field anymore, no pictures. What's your take?
I believe he probably moved on. Maybe the beans are starting to die off. The crops are changing. Acorns are starting to drop. Corn is starting to silt. So they've probably moved to the next available food source. So I would look there if you started on bean field.
You're saying that the key item here, or the key point, is that these deer are relocating due to food and food only.
I'm going to say this once and only once. No, I'm going to say it twice. Food, food, food.
With that being said, whether you think the beans are still in, there could be a lot of other deer still hitting that bean field. It doesn't mean that particular deer is going to stay on that. He's going to hit that, whatever his body's needing at that time, correct?
No, when the beans change, all those deer will probably disappear from that. So when the leaves get, they're not green, they're starting to, beans start to mature up, and then they disappear or move off that food source. Traditionally, corn is starting to silt, and acorns are starting to drop, and they relocate their food source.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is there's deer that'll hang out on that field till the bitter end, and then there's deer that'll abandon that weeks prior. You know, like you have the.
Oh, if it's something abandoning a field while it's still the crop is still mature and they're still hitting it, that could be who knows what reason. Normally, them bean fields, the biggest bucks are in them bean fields, and they're gonna hang in them till the food changes. So, about the other deer, let's just key in on the big. Was this about big deer, or just deer in general?
So what I'm trying to do, this was about a buck. It wasn't specified big deer. But what I'm getting at is there's so many different variables to this question. I don't know he's on a bean field. I just threw out a scenario. But it's a very frequent question that a lot of people have deer pinned down prior to season, and then right when they get a bow in their hands, these deer disappear, or shortly before that. So that's where I figured we'd just talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so the bean field scenario is just what I said. If it's that scenario, they're moving for food. You're going to have to give me another scenario. Are they?
Yeah. So on the beans, though, let's stay on that for a second. Mm-hmm. There's a point in time in which all those deer will leave the beans. Some will leave way earlier than others. I was up in North Dakota this year, and in the 4 days that we were there, we watched the bean fields have 100 deer in them to have 15 deer in them. You know, so I mean, like, there's...
Yeah, that's moon phase, but if the deer that you're looking for ain't coming back or disappearing, then it...
No, I'm saying it was like a wave. So, I mean, you're talking in the matter of 4 or 5 days, it went from lush green fields to spotty to completely brown in the matter of 4 days.
Oh, you're talking that field matured then and the deer...
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it is...
Are there acorn crop up there or
yes.
any corn?
Now, what would make... Let's say the acorns start falling. You know, what constitutes the more important food source at that point in time? I mean, would a buck hang out on the beans for longer and then abandon to the acorns right away? Or
the whole game, the whole early season goal of a mature big whitetail is to pack on as much food as quick as possible. So the highest protein sources, the best food sources, alfalfa, clover. Let's say the beans are starting to turn, but somebody just had their alfalfa field cut, and you got a rain, and now you got high protein source. Those bucks will get on those sources, and they will just pig out. They'll eat heavy until it goes dormant.
But that would
be a better food source.
So with that being said, I mean, you wouldn't have a buck abandoning a bean field for acorns.
Yeah, you could. If the acorn crop came in while the beans were still, like, let's say some early drop, and the beans were still ripe, they could prefer, for me,
because it's not protein content.
Beans one are number one. I would say that apples and acorns are in that two or three. Corn silting, that's when they disappear off your cameras. You wonder where the hell they went. They're living in a corn, just eating on the tops of corn starting to silt or mature. So they move around for them different food sources, what they prefer. And like I said, if you got any bean field that's in the area and there's a buck that's anywhere living close to it, they're going to be in them beans. That's your best spot to scout. And then when it matures and they move on, they're going to go back to where they came from. Might be a neighbor's property. It might be back in the timber or in the corn for a while. So that's one scenario of a deer moving and disappearing. Food.
Yeah, and that's
another one is could be moon phase or time of year. If a deer is not moving, you're going to think it's disappeared. You're not going to see it on your camera. You're not going to see it maybe on them fields anymore. Maybe they're back in the timber and they're not moving. They're just holding up, and you're going to think they're disappearing. Yeah.
See, that's what I was going to bring up. I think a lot of this is put on the fact that so many people are relying so heavily on these very, like, two minute resources, one being a trail camera and one being an evening glassing session.
100%.
So they think that now – you know,
100%, you're right.
Yeah, they think that since they're not seeing them on that evening glassing mission and their cameras went cold, that the buck has disappeared.
No.
Now, when you stop seeing these deer, this is where you start talking about moon phase too. Mm-hmm. If you're making your route and the moon phase is primo at that evening and all the fields are full, as the moon phase gets into that shittier phase, you're not going to see them at that time. They won't be out into that bean field until...
Even on a good, so this happens every year, even on our property. You got cameras on minerals, you got them on bean field edges, food sources, and all of a sudden your cameras just go cold. Everybody's wondering where the hell the deer went. They moved off that food source. Let's say they move into the corn and actually are living and bedding and feeding in the corn for a week. Moon phase or not, even when they're on their feet, they're feeding. You're not going to see them on your cameras. You're not going to glass them. It's like they disappear, and I know for a fact, they are not disappearing. The only time deer disappear from our properties is when the rut kicks in and they disappear for 2-3 weeks during that peak rut chasing does. Other than that, they come on back to winter. And I can't think of any other scenario that would. The coyotes don't chase them out. We don't chase them out. They always come back. So
this is where it gets specific in the fact that I think when the season opens up also, everybody is so hinged on hunting right where they had all that great intel, which is the biggest reason that I advocate for forgetting everything and going in season. And then even why I can't do the camera thing, because that weighs on my mind too. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there and, you know, the shot fires and it's time to go get them, and the only intel I have, I haven't done any scouting, the only intel I have is 300 summertime pictures, like, that's going to weigh on my mind. Like, I don't think these people that are having trouble with this are knowing where to go look for these deer then. Oh. I mean, and they can be tough to find, like you said, even early season if they did relocate to the corn.
So if you still want to get pictures of deer at that time, when they move to the corn, you're going to need to walk your corn field edges. You're going to find little pockets, little circles in there that are all eaten up. The tops are all chewed on. Normally there'll be a big buck that'll be living in that corn for a week, go take your camera and stick it on some stalks right in the middle of that where that eating's going on, and you'll get some pictures more of your bucks. Acorns, they're starting to run some scrapes a little heavier. This year, after the beans went dead, everything went to acorns for a while, and the woodlot was just on fire. There was scrapes in there. They were just feeding under every tree that was dropping, and they were eating them up quick, so they were disappearing as quick as they were eating them. And they relocated to that spot, but they were still on the farm, just off the fields and back in the timber a little bit. Water sources, bedding areas, you know, if the moon's phase of shit, they're up on their feet, but they're hanging out in their beds. So the question is, where do these deer go? So here's the answer. Sometimes these deer don't go anywhere, right? We'd both agree on that. And you're just missing the boat because you're concentrating on cameras or whatever. And other times, they are disappearing for a little bit. And the only thing that I've seen that drive deer out of their home range is running after the ladies for a while, and that's about it. And they always seem to return afterwards. So,
and now, I think it's important to look at this in context. The deer can disappear. Let's say you're hunting a 100-acre piece, and the nearest corn that starts to silt is 3 farms over.
Right.
They have disappeared essentially. Yep. I guess borders come into play, but I don't believe. And neither of us believe that those deer are completely gone and will never be back. It's just a matter of finding. And sometimes you're just limited to where you're at. I mean,
well,
like,
take our
yeah, a piece dictates what you can do.
First crop alfalfa around here. I don't care how many deer you got on your property, where you're at. If you're within a mile of that, 3/4 mile, every deer shifts over and is on that alfalfa.
I agree with you that that's a killer source. Just like I agree with you that about the whole food and what the deer are wanting. I believe that there are, like, these animals know what their body needs. They have a different connection to it than what, like, we do, right? But I still think that there's a lot of varying in that, because I've seen deer hammer acorns or abandon, you know, high protein food sources for other things. And I think there's got to be a little bit of a palate change there too. And then depending on, you know, I don't know if age has to do with anything, if these older deer need more of something than younger deer do. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily so important to, everybody tries to look at it on a spectrum of like, okay, well, first it's this, then it's this, then it's this, then it's this. I think it's just important that you get out there and you identify all these food sources, mm-hmm. know what they all are, and actively check all those places. Because even if you're hunting a bean field, and let's say you're having killer action, but you're not seeing a buck big enough that you want to shoot, and you go scouting a ridge over, and there's oaks dropping, and that field has been, you've been having awesome hunts in that field, and you throw a sit at that oak that's dropping acorns, you could smack a giant over there. Like,
sure.
It's all relative. There's the big picture is so huge that people, I think, they think about it so small. Just because there's a green bean field right here too doesn't mean that there's not another one a mile away, and a mile ain't shit.
Well, and we didn't even mention pressure. So
yeah, and pressure.
If you're on a border of some public ground and some private, and a shitload of pressure is put on that public right in that area, a deer could slide over to the private and just be hanging there until, you know, shit hits the fan with the rut, and they move. Or
And here's another thing on pressure. I give it to a lot of people on this all the time, but man, I mean, like, it's exciting and it's cool, but like, sometimes I think you can be the detriment of that disappearance. Like, these guys are just, like, so you're running a camera, and you're glassing this deer every night. You're so jacked that you're seeing them. You're videotaping them every night. Then you start to creep out into the beans to get closer. Then you I see this happen a lot. And a lot of times these deer at that time of year will handle that. Like, they'll tolerate that a little bit. But that ain't going to fly then later on. And I think sometimes people put too much pressure on these deer. Or then you're going in and out there and checking the camera too much. Like, I think that could have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, deer will lay low, even some pressured areas. They'll turn on this old nocturnal the deer have gone nocturnal. They've gone nocturnal the day you're in there, and they're not nocturnal the day you're not. They can turn this on and off at a moment's notice. So I still don't think you can scare a deer out of its territory ever. It's living where it lives, and it's going to be there, and it's just run circles around you.
And I think, and that comes into two, so that's another
now,
thing.
Now, a deer may want to relocate. There might be something in that picture.
Well, and there's a pecking order too. A deer might be forced to be relocated.
Exactly.
Like, that's a different story. All these bucks start to come in a hard horn, and they start challenging.
There's got an old bully that's living on their property. You're going to leave. You're going to get either killed or you're going to leave. You got your choice.
And that's where I think sometimes you'll have, so let's say you have this instance where everybody gets along and they're friends, and all of a sudden the pecking order is established, and then you have these subordinate bucks relocating to, usually they kind of flank, right? Like they know where they can go and they can't. And we've seen deer actually disappear and come back a year later, or come back as soon as a dominant deer was killed. Which,
that's a big one.
Like you mentioned, these deer don't, like, they don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. That's their home. That's where they were born. That's where they, and then they'll just spend their kind of days until they're ready to step up, kind of on the fringes, right? I mean, I've seen that a couple times. It's actually freaky how that happens.
So you got a couple of, maybe a couple of bachelor groups. We've got a big enough property. The deer in the one bachelor group will tolerate the others more. And then you got another bachelor group, but if you got the dominant one in one and the dominant another, there's where that one you might be hunting is in the other group, and he leaves. He's leaving because now there's, they're moving around more, and it's not a mix. So
then picture this now.
Bully buck.
If you take a step back too, this is why I always try and tell people. So like we're talking about all this, right? This is all relative to where you are, the size of the ground. This, as you explode out, there's way more bachelor groups and more deer, and how these circles start to overlap. And like you said, whether you got one core group of deer you're hunting, or whether this piece of property you're on has four different groups, and where, those bucks kick out and run into the others, that's where I think it gets different when you start creeping into, Now, this is as they shed their velvet, as they start to mark territory, as they start to scrape, as they're starting to feel squirrely. But the
biggest thing even I've learned over the years is you'll be hunting, and it's like there's just – you think there's not a deer in the property. It's that ice cold, that nothing moving. And they're there, and they're just bedding up more. They're not on their feet that much. They're not moving. Maybe it could be – combination of that moon, but it'd also be moon that overlapping a weather thing scenario. So now you got a 3-day period where a damn deer hasn't even got off its feet. You ain't finding, you ain't seeing deer like that. You're gonna swear to God they're gone, and they still might be there.
Yeah, and
another scenario.
And people, I think a lot of times there's too much of an association with deer movement and success, or being on the right. On the right track, I guess. Like you can be doing everything right and not see deer. And I mean, like you said, it's just I can think of an example on this. A few years back, when we were both hunting the farm here, and that doe came in. There were so many bucks on the property.
I
hunted for 2 weeks, two fucking weeks straight. And didn't see a damn buck. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even seeing deer. Like, maybe doe here, doe there.
And that's early before the rut.
Way before the rut. Right. But you were covered up.
Yeah.
And that was a mile away. Mm-hmm. But, like, right there, it's not that they were completely gone. They're just...
They did leave. The whole farm went to one draw. So, you're right. There is a point. There's a point, another point where... I would lay that back onto what I said about a deer leaving for the rut. They thought the rut was
on. But that was so crazy early. So that's where all these things, there's so many factors, right? So I think, if I remember correctly, too, that had to be like the 9th, like the 9th or 10th of October. Like that was oddly early, like before you'd see any.
And for the listeners, what happened there, and this has happened in the past, that was an injured doe. And I've seen this in the past with adult, you know, deer that have a broken leg.
Like the cycle is messed up?
Well, I don't know if the cycle, but I think they're, because of the whole package, the stress on the animal, I think they associate it with, or maybe it does. Maybe it kicks in those hormones, and they think that doe is in heat. Southern Iowa, one year we had a doe with a broken leg. These bucks just about killed her. They were running her down, trying to mount her, just beating the shit out of her, and every buck in the area was on her, you know?
I wonder if there's something that the body produces to heal that injury that is something similar. I mean,
or the
there's got to be something to that.
Stress level or whatever it is. But so that's what happened with that doe there.
So you don't think that doe actually came in the heat? You think something else was going on?
Well, because if she was in heat within 4 days, somebody had been breeding her, and she never got bred until the regular, you know, rut. She had to stink, and they were on her. They thought that the shit was going down, you know.
Yeah,
man, I'd like to have a spot like that again.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just yet another example of how, I guess, a buck could completely disappear.
Yep. Well, all of them disappeared there in most of the farms.
And that's, again, where I say it depends on the size of your property. And that's where I think probably a big lesson on this is if this is happening to you, if you find yourself...
I got another scenario.
Okay, I'll wait for mine then. What is the...
Oh, you finish your point. I don't remember this.
Well, I'm just going to say, if this is happening to you, I think it's important that you have a system, you know, you go out and be proactive into looking for where this deer relocated to, and if you're actively doing that, and you're not finding it, and you're stuck on a small parcel, you know, maybe it's time to scatter out and look at different areas. And because on smaller chunks, and depending on how you're laid out, like, you know, they could be gone. But I will say this, that is probably going to be temporary, very temporary.
Right. I did think of time, and I could tell you a story of the deer disappeared and they weren't coming back. So I pre-scouted an area up in upper Wisconsin on some public in the Nicolet, three giant bucks for back then, giants for me, coming out to a bean field, crossing a highway, just like clockwork. So I was all geared to jumping on them, setting up. I had a spot coming off that corner set up. Got back in there, nothing. Hunted for 2-3 days. I mean, like a ghost town, nothing. I run into the farmer. And he starts getting all of my shit. So what the hell am I doing here? I'm telling him I'm hunting these three bucks that were coming out. And he showed me a picture of one of them. All three of them got poached, literally. The week before I got there, one of them got the head. He got the biggest one. It was a 9-point with a base the size of your freaking calf.
And well, not my calf.
Well, yeah, my calf. And the two other ones they found dead there. One got the head chopped off, but somebody must have, you know, got on top. And so there's three deer that disappeared that ain't coming back.
I didn't,
I never thought of that, but it happens.
You got me on that because I was in my mind, I'm like, okay, all right, what happened? Did they went 4 miles away, or somebody planted another field?
In the corner where I was set up and laying dead. And you know what? That's happened here before, too. Remember, we had a guy that was poaching pretty heavy? So,
Yeah, so sometimes they disappear and never come back. Like they're
and all the good bucks disappear. All the nice typical 10s and 12s, all the junk ones still are here. So that throws a red flag up. So
So that's a very good point. Something that we definitely overlooked. Like or somebody could have beat you to it and you know got there and snuck in opening day and smoked them.
Yeah,
you know, I mean if you're you know that well, that's possible
no, that's,
too.
That's very possible in public land. You got you know, the deer could be, I remember gun season, too. This is way back scouting, way the hell back in. Red hot sign, fresh snow, fresh scrapes, beat the shit. Set up on there, hunted the day, and I couldn't believe I didn't see a freaking deer. And then when I got down and was scouting around, literally within 100 yards of that scrape, gut pile with the freaking ball sitting in there. Somebody beat me to it and got that deer. So
that happens very very quickly. What wasn't there a I don't know if it was a story that you told me a while back. I think it was in Wisconsin. in the marsh there where somebody snuck in at night and shot. I don't know if it was out of your stand or in that spot, but shot one in the nighttime.
Yeah.
You were hunting there the previous day. Then you got there in the morning and seen a blood trail.
No, actually. So I actually came in a little late to set up, got in my stand. I literally shot a deer.
Oh, that's what it was.
Let it go lay down.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a hit, liver hit, so you let him lay down. Snuck out of there. When I came back the next day, you can see where somebody literally picked the deer up and carried out. A guy was literally set up in a tree stand.
Watch it.
From not even 70 yards away in that mess. Probably was afraid of getting caught trespassing, so he just laid low for the night. Killed that deer, and then when I left, he went in and got it. Man, I was searching, dude.
Dude.
I was searching record books, and I was searching pictures. I would have loved to caught that guy and just...
Can you? I can't even believe that. That is just freaking bizarre. Oh, man, that was... Bizarre.
Dude, the gloves were off back in the day, back then.
Yeah, that...
Competition.
That takes some balls right there. I don't even know. But, yeah, so that's just an example. I mean, shit, anything can happen. Aside from...
But I'm going to say majority of the time, when you think that they're gone, they're not moving. I think it's got a lot more to do with that. I've hunted numerous deer where I'd get in the stand in the morning in the dark. I could hear the buck in the bed hacking away, chewing cud. There the whole time I was hunting, and then I get down and leave, and he never got up. So,
yeah, that,
you know, there's scenarios where just deer are not moving.
That happened to me a lot this past year with all the hundreds of acres of standing corn.
So that one year over by the doe spot, we had a lot of bucks on the property, and it was that time again, you know, corn starting to silt, and they all disappeared. When I took the corn down over on the that piece by the doe spot, there was five major 50-yard big circles in the middle of those corns that all those different bucks had their own spot in there, and they wiped out that 20 acres of corn because they were in there for a week and a half, 2 weeks.
So now just actually while we're talking on this, let's dive into that a little bit more. So for people who don't know, the corn starts silting. I mean, this is going to be like, this is early. Like this ain't going to, nobody's hunting when the corn is silting.
No. So when your cameras are out and they go ice cold, just like we talked about,
yeah,
I'd be 100% guarantee you that those deer have moved into that corn for a while.
Yeah, which is now we're talking summer, because I don't think this would really correlate to people who are hunting and can't find their deer. I'm just giving everybody a context of like when this corn disappearance might happen.
I'd have to check back on dates, but if the guy over here plants
early,
freaking 3 weeks earlier than you, it's going to be a different time. But
this is usually the heart of the summer that this starts happening, and then they'll hit that for those few weeks. And then,
it gets toward that end when the beans again start turning a little bit. So it's toward the end of summer. Some of your bean crops will come off real early if you plant them early enough. So
and like you said, this is all dependent.
But acorns.
On,
and if you're lucky enough to have apples, dude.
Yeah, see, you know.
I'm going to the apple trees.
Yeah, apple trees are hot.
I don't know what it is about big bucks and apples.
And that's obviously, that's going to be your September. Your mid-September is going to be that peak apple time.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, the summer. You got the heat of the summer, late summer. You get this corn that silts that could cause a disappearance. You got, you know, bean fields being the primary source of food that could cause disappearance. Into September, right into those first week or two, then you got, you know, apples and acorns,
and you know there are apple trees that they don't drop early; they drop all the way in December. Some of these apple trees,
Some of them hold. But
what would you say?
Fruit trees in general, pears.
First and second probably close tie would be food source just changing, and non-movement because of maybe some moon, and then you're going to go into some of these other.
Then there's all sorts of stuff. But I think first and foremost, I think like we hit on right off the bat, don't put all your eggs in the camera basket. Don't put it in just what you're seeing glassing. There's a lot of things affecting these things. And really at the bottom line is, odds are your buck didn't disappear. He's there. He's just somewhere else.
Right. Unless you're a real unlucky bastard. And somebody knocked him off.
Yeah. That could very well be it.
So, moral of the story, hunt like a wolf. just keep on the prowl, keep looking, changing up with the seasons. Yes. And if you do that and you learn to do that, what happens is you'll become a pretty seasoned hunter. Well, you will know where to be.
And
before all this develops, you can anticipate it happening and you can be in the right spots before it's happening. So,
and this is where it is super important to be proactive like this and hunt like a wolf, as you mentioned. And this does not matter what sort of ground you're hunting.
Nope.
You can be on private ground, a small piece. You can be on a giant piece of public ground. It changes the scale, but it does not change the game. You know, these deer are moving for food. You got to be proactive in looking for that, knowing how to identify it. And like you said, once you learn that, and that's in the Rolodex, you can apply that to anywhere you are. I mean, you might learn of new food sources. There's things that they eat up in northern Wisconsin that you know, they don't have in southern Illinois or vice versa and whatever. But when you start to, you know, learn these things and then –
Yeah, they hammer weeds at a certain time of year and just heavy. Just looks like someone gone through these, let's say it's a swamp or ravines, anywhere that moisture tends to, on a dry year, moisture tends to be a little bit more down in those lower spots, and those plants still retain water source down there. It looks like somebody's down there in a weed eater just eating the shit out of them. So they're moving. They're moving down there. They're in the swamps eating that stuff. And yes, it can be really dry in tamarack swamps. There's no water at all. You don't need the boots. But that it's moist ground under soil, so those plants are bringing up, you know, the moisture from them, and they're getting their drink from plants. So just keying on that, and the deer are keying on it. They're moving to where they're going to.
Yeah, there's all sorts of odd food sources that, you know, might be, you know, not your typical apples or beans or whatever, but if they're eating it, they're eating it, you know, even thistles.
Here's a point in thought too. So you got corn piles out and you got minerals to get pictures of deer on it, right? You think, well, why the hell would a deer leave that and go into a cornfield, standing cornfield, to eat on corn cobs? Forget about why they do. They're both corns, but the tasty stuff is out in the field, and that's where they're moving, and they are doing it. They'll leave that dead and go to the better source. So
it's
palatable.
I love that you said that, because I was on a podcast a couple years ago, and the host, I can't remember who it was talking about asking all these questions and wanting to learn why deer eat this roughage, or why they eat the beans, or why they, and I was pretty much like, you know what, I don't, like, it doesn't matter. They're doing it.
Exactly.
Who cares why they love apples?
Mm-hmm.
They love them. If you got an apple tree, get near that damn thing, you know?
No.
So it's just don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, another point in taking that experience years ago, and I know when it happens, a couple of pieces that I have is somebody will start baiting, whether legally or illegally, and suck every deer off your property. They're still living on your property, but you can go to the spots consistently where they're all funneling down and heading that direction. And that happened a lot of years in that bigger country up in Anagul years ago when that became really popular baiting. I said it was the end of an era back then. All the scouting, all the miles that I'd put on, I'd go back and it would end up pounded trails going to some private piece that was
getting baited.
Yeah, and some of these, I'm not even going to say baited. I mean, talking truckloads of freaking corn piled, and there's so much food in there, that easy food that the deer got accustomed to, that it just changed their pattern. And they're disappearing for a while. They're heading that direction. They're feeding and then heading back. So that could be another thing that could happen, especially in areas where that's, you know. And there's a lot of states that are big baiting states, so.
Yeah, you can legally bait in a bunch of states, and I think, and actually even during the season, it's legal to hunt over it. It's legal to have it out. And I know when I was scouting southern Ohio, like, I even on the public land there where it wasn't supposed to be there, every couple miles I'd run into a bait pile with a ladder stand. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, you know, what is
I was
on
elk here? Hunting in some public in Colorado. Thought I got back so freaking far. I was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And these guys were passing me on horses heading back in there, and they had salt. And there was bags, salt bags blowing around in the wind back in there. I'm like, man, this is some nuts shit. So, and boy, the sign was hot back there because, you know, the deer were on it. So,
yes, and that comes down to, so that's a good point of just, there's some things you just can't avoid. I mean, that's, you're kind of fighting a losing battle, but.
Yeah, and that happens, but it's, and so baiting is an issue, but again, the food source changing too is the same scenario. Instead of a bait, it's acorns get mature, whatever it is.
That is food. You know,
it's a food source, an easy food source. So. And if you want other guys' deer to disappear onto your property, keep the ladies happy on your property. Keep them fed, keep them secure, and you'll have all the neighbors' bucks you want running your gig. So they'll be disappearing over there instead of on yours.
Yeah, I think hopefully that gives everybody a fresher perspective on how to look at their buck disappearing if they find themselves in that situation. But a lot of times there is no disappearance, and you just got to get out there and you got to grind it and make some moves. So
cool.
Yeah. Till next time.
More later.